taken from Philippians chapter 1 and verses 19 to 30, and can be found in the Church Bible on page 831. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. Yet, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Do keep that passage open. And we'll pray again. Father, please open our eyes and our minds and soften our hearts that we may receive what you want to say to us today in your word, by your Spirit, and to the glory of Jesus. Amen. Do you have a bucket list? Here are some of the things our society says should be on our bucket list. Visit Disneyland. Feed a giraffe. Eat a pizza in Italy. Climb Mount Everest. Celebrate Holi in India. Go to a music festival. Take a kite boarding lesson. Hike Kilimanjaro. Give money to a homeless person. And so the list goes on. What's on your bucket list? What do you want to do before you kick the bucket? That's what it means. I want to show you a different perspective here in Philippians. It's the perspective of the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 21, chapter 1, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What's on Paul's bucket list? He wants to live for Christ, or to die for Christ. That's rather different. Paul's bucket list is all about serving Christ. Our bucket list is often about pleasing ourselves. Three things to say then on the backs of your sheets. Before Paul dies, he wants to honour Christ in his body. He wants to labour with Christ. And he wants us to do the same. Firstly then, he wants to honour Christ in his body. Verses 18 to 20. I should give you a bit of context. The Philippian church was founded by Paul in Acts 16, about 12 years before this letter was written. And the Philippians have stood shoulder to shoulder with Paul, supporting his ministry. This is a good church. There are no major doctrinal problems. There's a bit of quarreling and arguing. There's the ever-present threat of going back to Judaism. But generally, Paul really loves this church, and he's very open and honest with them. And the centerpiece of his argument is chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. But it's just as true here in Philippians. And he sets up other examples of those who are imitating Christ. Timothy, Epaphroditus. Can people imitate us as we imitate Christ? So the first point is, he wants to honour Christ in his body. I researched Body Shop in preparation for this point. Their mission statement includes very fine words. We believe true beauty comes from the heart. For us, beauty is much more than a pretty face. We make our products with love and care. We source some of the finest raw ingredients from the four corners of the globe. We harness the skills of artisan farmers and add our expertise to create effective products that are wonderful to use. We trade fairly, so communities benefit as well as you. We never test on animals, and all our products are 100% vegetarian. We campaign with passion on issues close to our heart, because activism is in our blood. We always keep people, animals, and the planet in mind. So when you shop with us, you are choosing, and so on. I'm not against any of that. The premise behind it, very obviously, is that my beauty must be enhanced. And my physical body is preserved and enjoyed. Paul is not like this. End of verse 18 onwards. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Paul has been rejoicing because the church has been emboldened to preach the gospel, even if some preach Christ out of false motives. Paul will continue to rejoice, verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now, this deliverance might mean being set free from prison. But Paul knows it might mean being executed and promoted to glory. Verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ may be exalted in my body. He wants to honour Christ in his body. So it may be that the way Christ is honoured in Paul's body is that he is released from prison and that he's able to use his body, his energy, his strength to live for Christ. It may be that Christ is honoured in Paul's body when Paul's body is taken out and executed. Look at the end of verse 20. Christ will be exalted in his body, whether by life or by death. Paul hopes he will not be ashamed to stand for Christ, if that means dying for Christ. I wonder how that strikes you. What ambitions do you have? I once had an ambition to be a successful singer. Now I know that's never going to happen. Now my ambitions are more for my children. What are your ambitions? actually, all that matters is that we live for Christ. Number two, he wants to labor with Christ. Verses 21 to 26. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Something to live for is a 1952 American film starring Joan Fontaine, Ray Milland, and Teresa Wright. The plot centers on Jenny Carey, a budding actress whose developing career is threatened by an increasing dependence on alcohol. Spurred by her self-destructive romance with theatre director Tony Collins. Reformed drunk Alan Miller attempts to help her by introducing her to AA, but his growing interest in her strains his marriage to Edna, who suspects his motive for assisting Jenny is more than humanitarian. I leave you to watch the film in your own time. That synopsis does give us an insight into what people live for. Because we're sinful people, we tend to live selfishly. So it would be honest of me to say, very often, for me to live is not Christ. For me to live is self, what self wants. Paul can say, for me to live is Christ. Paul languishes in the imperial prison in Rome. He's chained to members of the imperial guard who do 4-hour shifts. But instead of self-pity, Paul can say that he rejoices because he gets to share the gospel with the soldiers. And as a result, it's become known throughout the imperial household that he is in chains for Christ. And in chapter 4, verse 22, he tells us that there are Christians in Caesar's household. That's the perspective of a man who lives for Christ. So when we go to work, or at home, or go to watch a rugby match, or go to the tennis club, or whatever we do, we need to say, I'm here for Christ. For me to live is Christ. I'm not primarily here for the tennis, or the rugby, or the music, or whatever it is. I'm here for Christ. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Now, can you say that? My life is entirely for Christ, but I would rather die and be with Christ in heaven. Christians are the most persecuted religious group worldwide. An average of at least 180 Christians are killed for their faith every month. More than 60 governments persecute Christians. The worst example is probably North Korea. There are 4 official churches in Pyongyang, but most Christians end up in death camps. 41 of the 50 worst persecuting countries are extreme Islamic. Now, if you live in North Korea, or Saudi Arabia, or Northern Nigeria, or Syria, you really have to decide that to die is gain. To live is Christ. To die is gain. In North Hearts, we can convince ourselves that to live is career. And to die would be a disaster. We would lose everything at death, we think. You can't take it with you. And so on. Clearly, death is awful. We're separated from loved ones. But for the Christian, to die is gain. To die is to be set free from pain. It's to be set free from frustration. It is, of course, to be with Christ, to die as gain. Do you have this perspective? Will we live wholeheartedly for Christ because we want to use our energy for him and we're living for his reward? Paul is torn, verse 22. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Paul loves to tell people about Jesus. He loves to teach Christians, to build them up in the faith. Very fruitful labor. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Live, serve Christ, die, be with Christ. Paul is torn. Do you find this a challenge? Verse 24. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. That is a selfless life. That is a life which is for Christ and for other people. Paul thinks, probably, he will live. And that for the joy and the progress of the church, his life will be of benefit. So, he wants to honor Christ in his body. He wants to labor with Christ. And thirdly, he wants us to do the same. Verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whether I live or die, whether you live or die, honor Christ, serve the gospel. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. There is a little problem in chapter 4 verse 2 of a quarrel. In chapter 2 verse 14, he says, do everything without complaining or arguing. It's a great church, but there was this little problem. And so Paul wants them to contend as one man for the gospel. They are to be shoulder to shoulder, sharing the gospel with everyone they can, verse 28, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. It's said that following the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, Geneva, where Calvin was, of course, Geneva became a major missionary center, sending missionaries to France throughout the 17th and 18th centuries. But there was a major persecution of French evangelicals, known as Huguenots, during this time. The average life expectancy of a missionary from Geneva to France was 6 months. And they came anyway. We're too scared to tell our neighbours about Jesus, in case they don't like us anymore, aren't we very often? Verse 28, share the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. If you no longer fear death, if you consider death gain, you're not frightened of opponents. I'm not saying I can do this. I aspire to this, and I want you to aspire to it too. Our lack of fear, verse 28b, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved. and that by God. To be courageous in sharing the gospel is a very powerful witness to our friends, family, neighbours, colleagues, especially if they see our hope of heaven. When the world sees this, it knows the gospel is true, even if it won't admit it. For verse 29, it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Yes, Paul wants to honour Christ in his body. He wants to labour with Christ, and he wants us to do the same. Have you ever asked yourself what happened to the 12 disciples of Jesus? Well, this is what tradition tells us. This is not all in the Bible, but it's a Christian tradition. What became of the 12 disciples? John died of extreme old age in Ephesus. Judas Iscariot, after betraying his Lord, hanged himself. Peter was crucified, head downward, during the persecution of Nero. Andrew died on a cross at Patri in Achaia, a Grecian colony. James, the younger brother of Jesus, was thrown from a pinnacle of the temple and then beaten to death with a club. Bartholomew was flayed alive in Albanopolis, Armenia. James, the elder son of Zebedee, was beheaded at Jerusalem. Thomas the Doubter was run through the body with a lance at Coromandel in the East Indies. Philip was hanged against a pillar at Hierapolis, Abyssinia. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows. Simon died on a cross in Persia. Do you still want to be a Christian? I want to end by pointing out something very obvious about Philippians. One of the major themes is joy. It's mentioned at least 16 times. Chapter 1, verse 4, I always pray with joy. 1:18, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. 1:25, I will continue for your progress and joy. Chapter 2, verse 2, make my joy complete. Do you get the idea? The most joyful Christians are the most sold out for Christ. People for whom it is true that they live for Christ and to die would be gain are happy people. I'm sure I've told you before of my trip to the Czech Republic in 1992, just 3 years after the fall of communism. I stayed with Christians who'd been persecuted. The father was a pastor and had been imprisoned for 12 years. The son wanted to be a doctor. He was clever enough, but he was prevented from doing medicine because he would not join the Communist Party. The daughter wanted to be a school teacher, but she wouldn't join the Communist Party. These people had suffered. But the thing I remember about this family to this day, 23 years later, is that they had joy. When you live all out for Christ, you have joy. When you live half for Christ and half for something else, you are unhappy. And no matter what you put on your bucket list, no matter what you spend money on, you will not find joy. Joy comes from knowing Christ, loving Christ, and serving Christ. Well, shall we talk to the Lord? Shall we bring ourselves to him? Shall we confess that we often live for the wrong things? Let's tell him that we want to live for Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the freedom we enjoy in this country to meet here openly, to share the gospel openly. Thank you that none of our church leaders have been put in prison. Thank you that we are wealthy and that we have all the resources we need to run the church well. And so, Lord, we're sorry that often we don't love you. We don't put Jesus first. And when we think of how our brothers and sisters around the world, in North Korea, in many Islamic countries, when we think of how they are suffering and living for Christ, knowing that there's a great cost to be paid. Lord, we're sorry for our half-heartedness. This week, Lord, grant us to put Christ first. Grant us to get up early enough to spend time in his word and in prayer. Grant us to go through the day with a conscious sense that we are put there for Christ, to speak about Christ, to show Christ by the way that we live. Lord, please would you give us growth in our church. Please would we be bringing people with us to church. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you. And as we were singing earlier, Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in us. For Jesus' sake, amen.